Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. And after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travellers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and in his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and all the people. Amen.
I always have to tidy up when I come up here. Stuff you just don't need everywhere. Who needs three pens? The 20 cent coin, which I held back from the offering, but I will put it in a minute. The 20 cent coin. Tell me, I don't know my coinage history of Australia. Was there ever a time when the 20 cent coin was bigger than that? No. Has it always been this size? 2 shillings. What did you used to be able to do with it? You used to buy a milkshake with this. You were buying milkshakes. That was bad then. Beg pardon? Bag of sweets, bag of lollies. What else would you... Petrol? You're dreaming. We watched a castle over Christmas. when I were but a lad, which I should say in a Yorkshire accent, but none of you would know what that would sound like. I went out on my own quite a lot. And my kids don't believe me that when I was primary school age, I would walk to school on my own. And lots of other people used to walk to school on their own. And then I got to high school and I was allowed to catch 2 buses on my own. 40-minute trip to high school on 2 buses. My kids won't walk to a bus stop, never mind get on 2 buses. We could do, and this is, by then we were living in sort of northeast London, and could ride the buses and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And a coin this size would have been a 10 pence coin. Decimal. I'm not going back that far. A 10p coin in England now is really, really small because the British coin people, they keep changing the size of the coins. But it used to be that you knew when you had 10 pence in your pocket because it was this size and you could feel that you had it. If I had 10 pence in my pocket now, I wouldn't know. 10 pence in your pocket was important because 10 pence in your pocket would buy you a phone call. Again, my kids don't believe this, but in the old days, there used to be phones on street corners in boxes. Did they ever come here? Yeah. But now, of course, if your kids go out at all on their own, they have to take what? Their mobile phones. And our world has become such that we're so, and in many ways rightly, don't misunderstand me, very, very protective we're much more aware of the world that our kids are growing up in. And so when we read the story, as has been read for us this morning, of Mary and Joseph traveling back from Jerusalem to Nazareth, and that's quite a way. I should have looked up how far it was, but it's a good couple of, a good 3 or 4 days walk that. And they don't know where Jesus is. They're walking back from the Passover festival, big, important festival in Judaism then, as still it still is. And they're walking back with friends and family, and they don't know where Jesus is. And this to us seems unthinkable, that you could undertake a 3 or 4 day journey with a 12-year-old child and not know where that child was. But of course, their day was a day of extended family and wider relationships in community and a lot more trust in community than we have today. So it's hard for us to put our heads into this story. But if for a moment you put yourself in Mary's shoes, or sandals, probably, or thongs, as she lost control of the trolley. 12 years prior, Mary's been visited by an angel, and the angel said, "You're going to have a son, and you're not married, and you're going to have a son anyway." And so she's gone through all that experience, and she's been told, "Your child is going to be the savior of the world, going to save his people from their sin." You've been told that you've got the one unique bond with Jesus in the whole world. You are the mother. You have borne this child in the most intimate way possible. You are the Theotokos. We talked about that last a couple of weeks ago, the God-bearer. That's your role. You are the God-bearer. You are entrusted with the incarnate Son of God, and 12 years down the line, you've lost him. "Mary, we've chosen you to bear the Son of God." "Okay, then. And now I don't know where he is. Where did I put that Jesus?" "Excuse me, has anyone seen the Savior of the world?" So when you put yourself in her shoes, the question she asks Jesus when they eventually catch up with him seems a bit harsh. "Why have you done this to us, son? Why have you treated us like this?" in the NIV. As if he's done some terrible thing. And actually, any parent will know what she's really asking is the question she doesn't articulate. "How could I possibly allow that to happen?" But as often we do when we admonish our children, we are also internally admonishing ourselves. Now, Luke's put this story in his gospel, and it's the only account we have of the boyhood of Jesus. And it's often just used as a kind of, "Oh, don't forget that Jesus was a boy and grew up," and that's important. But there's a lot more to this story, and a lot more reason why it's here than we sometimes just allow it to say to us. You see, Mary and Joseph, actually, he's got his responsibility too. Mary lost Jesus in the crowd. Mary lost Jesus in the crowd. Even Mary lost Jesus in the crowd. And so do we, don't we? It's been great to hear and to see and to even be part of families gathering, sharing together, catching up Christmas morning here. There were lots of reunions going on around the hall as people travelled, met each other here and before they went off to do various things. And so in all the good things of Christmas, not just in the whole sort of commercialization stuff, although we can lose Jesus there too, but even actually in the good things that we celebrate rightly, we can still lose Jesus in the crowd. Mary and Joseph are traveling back with people, with their friends, with their family, they're chatting, they're having a good time. They're celebrating, and they've lost Jesus in the crowd. And so can we. Celebrating Passover was a big deal in Jerusalem. We're told they went every year. They made that journey every year. Even today, when Jewish people celebrate the Passover around the world, if they're not in Jerusalem when they celebrate the Passover, the last words that will be said by the father of the house will be next year in Jerusalem. It's what they aspire to. See, Mary and Joseph are doing the whole religious thing, and they're doing it very well. Observant Jews, responsible, taking their faith seriously, doing what's required of them as good religious people. And they still lost Jesus in the crowd. And you and I know that we can do our thing, and we can do it very well. We can turn up to the right things, we can dress the right way, we can look the right part. We can do our Salvation Army life and we can do it very, very well. And we can still lose Jesus in that crowd. We are constantly reminded as we go through Advent and Christmas, it's all about Jesus, it's all about Jesus. We're constantly reminded about that, rightly so. But we get to this stage of Christmas where, I don't know about you, but it'd be really good if that Christmas tree went away now and all that sort of stuff, you know, get rid of all the things that those of us who are Christmas Grinches, you know, let's just go back to normal. Let's just get life back to normal. But actually, in all of that, we don't want to lose the Saviour that we've maybe got back in touch with. It's really important that we don't lose Jesus in the crowd, and it's really important that we don't lose Jesus even in our religious observance, however we do that. Perhaps the one thing that Mary and Joseph didn't do was keep their eyes on Jesus in that crowd. Not judging them. I think they did okay. But maybe for us, the challenge is, whatever's going on, keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on him in order that we don't lose him in the crowd and all the other things that compete for our attention, all the other people that compete for our attention. Someone's having a break from work, but we'll go back to work. There'll be demands. There'll be all sorts of things waiting for us. Lots of other things can take our attention away from Jesus. We must not lose him in the crowd. Mary and Joseph also lose Jesus in their expectations. Why have you done this to us? Mary asked Jesus. And most of us, if not all of us, have prayed that prayer at some point. Oh God, why? Why has this happened? Why have you done this to us? And Jesus' response to Mary: did you not know I should be in my father's house, attending to his father's business? Even in childhood, Jesus is hostage to no one else's expectations or limitations. Not Mary's, not Joseph's, not yours, not mine. And as Mary listened to Jesus give that response, she may well have remembered the encounter with Simeon. Earlier on in the chapter, in the middle of chapter 2, when they took Jesus to the temple and heard the prophecy of Simeon spoken over Jesus, that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. She stored up these things in her heart, Luke tells us. She reflected on them. She began to realize that this, her son, her child, was not a child that could be confined by any human expectations. Jesus' conversation with the religious leaders, he confounded their expectations of what even the most able of 12-year-olds should be able to understand and discuss and have insight into. we say that we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, and he is. But sometimes we can take that and we can try and squeeze Jesus into our mould a bit. God is with me. God is with me, so I can carry on doing what I like. Maybe not. God is with me, so I can make this choice or that choice or that choice. But I think he might still be with me in my bad choices. But actually, the one who's alongside us, the one who's with us, is the one who says, follow me. Follow me. Jesus accompanies us in all of life's journey, and incarnation is all about the fact that God enters completely into every human experience. Every human experience he understands and fully identifies with. But he also comes in order that we might follow him and do it his way, do life his way. In 20-odd years' time, Mary would lose Jesus again for 3 days. And 2 more disillusioned disciples would meet Jesus on the road. And he would walk the road with them. And he would have to say, would you not understand that the Messiah had to suffer these things? We can lose Jesus in the crowd. We can lose Jesus in expectation because ours are not his. But we need to remember that we all have to, the world has to lose Jesus in order that Jesus might find us. The 3 days between the cross and resurrection. It takes Mary and Joseph 3 days to find Jesus at age 12. It takes Mary 3 days to encounter the risen Lord Jesus. See, maybe Luke's telling us something else. Maybe Luke's telling us something about the whole gospel story here. Just as the carol that the band have played for us actually gives us the whole sweep of the whole story. Maybe even here, right at the beginning of his story, Luke is saying, this is about something else. We've moved on from shepherds and angels and kings. This is about something else. This is about the child who would not be hostage to anyone else's agenda, who comes and says, actually, I will be with you, but the way to do it is to follow me. Follow me. And the child who goes missing for 3 days as an adult on a cross and resurrection possibility in order that we might be found by him. Does that make sense? I hear that. What was that? Yeah. Yeah. And the whole story is important. The whole story. It's easy just to take out little slots. But we have to kind of keep the big picture in view as well, and especially when we're suffering and things are happening to us that we don't understand, when life makes no sense. It's the big picture that says, even though in this detail, this moment of darkness that I don't understand, this Savior of the world has somehow got it all in ways that we don't understand. And maybe the whole point of what Luke is telling us is that we can't understand Jesus. That's why we revisit these stories year after year after year. Some of you have heard Christmas sermons, thousands of them. There's something new every time, hopefully. We read these accounts over and over again. Jesus is lost for 3 days. Jesus is lost for 3 days. Jesus is lost for 3 days. And at the end of that story, new life, new possibility, new resurrection adventure for all of us. We can lose Jesus for a whole bunch of reasons, but he has come because he doesn't want to lose us. Mary loses Jesus. We all lose Jesus, but you know what? The truth is, we are the ones who are lost. We are the ones who are lost and helpless. And he is the one who's come to find us. Jesus is not lost. We are. And he has come to find us. I think it's important to put it that way around. I love the stories of when people find Jesus. That's great. Of course it is. But we only find Jesus because we put ourselves in a place where he can find us. He's come to find us. He's come to look for us. Some of us have been on this Christian road a long time, and we know we can lose Jesus in the crowd, and we know we can lose Jesus with our narrow understanding and our narrow expectations of who he should be for us and how it should be for us. But also when we get really honest with ourselves, we know we're the ones who are lost. Some of us are yet to make that journey begin. And yet somehow, whilst we don't know the answers, and we don't know what it's all about, and we don't know how it all ends, somehow we know we're in trouble, and we know that we're the ones who were lost. The helpless child of Bethlehem is the man on the cross. And the man on the cross is the one who leaves the grave empty and conquers all those things, conquers death and darkness and all the things that make no sense to us. He has come to find those who were lost. That's you and me. If you need to rediscover who he is, or if you need just to spend some time allowing him to reveal something of himself to you, then this place of prayer is available. We're going to sing together and pray together. We're going to use a beautiful song, I Know Thee, Who Thou Art. A song that reminds us that God is with us, but also that he wants to offer us resurrection possibility, a new life, a new beginning.